have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, please, Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 will be our text today. It's interesting in preaching two messages on a Sunday, how similar and how different the two messages are. I usually have the same text and same outline, but it never ceases to amaze me how God changes the two services. And I felt sitting there listening to the testimonies, listening to Brother Bill's prayer, listening to the song, I felt God changing the approach to the message. I usually have one specific goal for a Sunday morning message. No matter where I preach in the Bible, I believe that on a Sunday morning message, my goal is to bring us to the understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and He's King of Kings. And bring us to the truth of the security in our lives of knowing Him, that He is right. Anything that is against Him is wrong. That even though the television says one thing, we can know truth in the Word of God. We look at our future, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure that our future is as bright as it once was. But I know this, according to the Word of God, one day I'm going to hear the trump and the shout, and the Lord Himself is going to come, and we're going to go home. Amen? We have the truth of God's Word. I don't know about you, but I love the Bible. I need the Bible. You need the Bible. We need the authority of the Bible. We need the hope of the Bible. We need the power of the Word of God in our lives. And so, I had a thunderous message for you today that was going to blow your socks off. But God has changed it to a tender truth that I hope will melt your heart. Find, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. Solomon said, when I applied mine heart to know what, class? Wisdom. And to see the business that is done upon the earth. For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. We're busy people. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Solomon is making a declaration here that when you understand that the caliber of man that is making this declaration, it helps in the application of the Word of God. Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. Solomon was familiar with wisdom 10 times more than you and I would ever be familiar with wisdom. He found himself familiar with the world's wisdom, which would be wisdom that would not be founded on the person of Christ or the Word of God. And he found himself very familiar with wisdom that came from God. I want you to understand something. There are two types of wisdom in the world. There is the world's wisdom, and there is God's wisdom. Both of them are competing for your attention. Both of them make promises that are grandiose in our thought process. But only one of them leads to the way of life. And that is the wisdom that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Solomon is helping us to understand that wisdom as defined by the Bible in Christ and by the Word of God. By the way, that's how God's wisdom is. It's personified in Jesus. If you're going to know God's wisdom, you must know Jesus Christ. It's provided to us through the Word of God. Solomon is letting us know that This wisdom is good. This wisdom has power to give us life. This wisdom has the ability to bring joy to your life. Solomon is teaching that the Lord Jesus and his word is the way that you and I can get the most out of our life. I preached 2 weeks ago a message entitled From Chapter 7, You Might Want to Learn Something. From Chapter 8, I've preached to you how to get the most out of life. When you combine these two messages, Solomon's telling you, you might want to learn something so you can get the most out of your life. And what he's teaching us is that there is a wisdom that brings grief. This is a wisdom that Satan brings to us. This is a wisdom that the world affords to us. This is a wisdom that is contrary to the word of God. And it will grieve you. But there is a wisdom that is good. There is a wisdom that is from above. It's peaceable, it's gentle, and it enables you to enjoy your life and to get the most out of your life. If I was to be honest with you, I'm kind of to the point where it's getting heavy. It's getting heavy. The more people that I sit and talk with, the more people don't enjoy their life. They don't enjoy their life because they don't understand how they can. Most people think that life can be enjoyed when life has no problems. Well, I got news for you. All lives have problems. Bill Lewis is 95 years old. He knows what it is. Him and Doris both know what it is to be vacated by lovers. They know what it is to bury children. They know what it is to suffer. And a 95-year-old man stood before us and said, there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jack and Millie Powell stood up at 8:30 and said, we buried a 2-year-old daughter named Madeline. Many folks don't even know they had a daughter named Madeline. They have Will, and they have Jared, and they have Jackie, and they had a little girl named Madeline. 2 years of age, she died. And Jack said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, we shouldn't even be in our right mind. We shouldn't even be stable. But there's power in the word of God. No life is without suffering. But I make you this promise. God gave you your life. God fashioned you and created you. Your life is a gift. And God, in creating your life, in creating all life, God knows how life works the best. I sat there as Danny and Anais were singing, and I don't know about you, but I kind of felt like there was just a blanket of security that God was putting on our service today. And I sit here and I hear the hymns and I hear the testimonies and I hear the power of prayer and the music. And we just feel so secure in this room. But I got news for you. God can care for our lives outside of this room. And we have this mentality of, well, if I'm going to get the most out of life, then life somehow has to fit in this little box. Well, Solomon is letting you know, the wisest man in the world, he's letting you know, life's too complicated for us. Solomon says, I tried to figure out my life. I tried to figure out all that God was doing. I tried to figure out the whys and the whats and the wheres and the how comes. And Solomon said, I would get close, but then it would elude me. I thought I had it, and then I realized, no, I don't have it. And Solomon said, it was like I was chasing the wind looking for reasoning. And then I tried to learn all I could learn. And the more wisdom I tried to amass, just the more grievous I felt. Because no matter how much I worked at it, I couldn't make life just fit perfectly. Well, I got news for you. Life doesn't fit perfectly. That's why there's grace. And God is able to bring great grace to our lives. Pastor, why is my life like it is? I don't know. Pastor, why do I have to do? I don't know. Pastor, what's going on? I don't know. But I know this. If you're God's child, if you're born again, you belong to Him. He loves you. And God does things in your life for two reasons. For your good and for His glory. And we so want to know. We so want to know. We think we want to know. And we try to understand it. But God doesn't say you're going to know about your life. God said, ask for wisdom. If any man lack, let him ask of God. And so Solomon is teaching us the importance of wisdom. Now here's where we're messing up as believers today. And Solomon's going to link it. He taught in the first part of chapter 8, he taught about our understanding and applying wisdom to authority. And he said, you better understand authority. There is something called absolute truth, and there is something called supreme authority, and there is someone called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Solomon said, on this earth, I have a responsibility to human authority, but I also have a responsibility to God, to spiritual authority. And Solomon said, if you want to get the most out of your life, you better use some wisdom and understand you're not God, you're not in charge, and there must be the submission to authority. And we understand that. And we're pretty good there. But on the polar opposite, Solomon said, now there's a vanity upon the earth, and it's a heavy vanity. And Solomon said, I'm not so much having a problem with the authority part, but I'm having a problem with the anarchy part. I'm having a problem understanding the wicked. I'm having a problem understanding how come somebody that does not know the Lord or love the Lord or serve the Lord, how come in my estimation, their life is awesome and my life stinks? They don't suffer. They don't lack for anything. Man, I barely got two nickels to rub together, Pastor. Man, we can barely eat. Man, I'm telling you, we're living by faith. To be honest with you, living by faith rots. It rots. I preach all the time, live by faith. Live by faith. Then I try to do it myself. You know what? It's hard. Kind of rots. I don't know where this is coming from or how this is going. And trusting the Lord is not easy, but He's the only one trustworthy. And so we as believers, we're getting the joy of our life sucked out by not having a biblical perspective of authority and anarchy and where we stand in the Lord and where the wicked stand apart from the Lord. And Solomon makes an application in this passage that will bring us to a biblical perspective that will strengthen our lives. Find, if you would, verse number 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Underline that verse, powerful verse. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that, what are those two words, class? Fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth. Don't miss verse 14. There be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the working of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is what, class? So Solomon has seen a vanity upon the earth. And he has seen a vanity where you've got righteous men that it looks like they're suffering like the wicked should be suffering. And you've got wicked men, unrighteous men, unsaved men, and it looks like they're profiting like the righteous person would profit. And Solomon is saying, now when I look at this from my human rationing, my world is colliding. And it's making me step back and saying, God, What are you doing? God, are you really good? God, can you really impact my life? God, are you really trustworthy? Are you really worth living for? Are you really worth all that I've sacrificed? Did I do wrong, God? I mean, look at them and look at me. What's going on? Have you ever had that prayer to God? Solomon's dealing with this biblical perspective. Verse number 10, he's got a rich man that died and was celebrated. Not a rich man, a wicked man who was buried. And he contrasts this with righteous men who had been forgotten. And Solomon says, we got a problem here. The wicked are being celebrated and the righteous are being forgotten. Does that sound like our world today? You think about what is celebrated by our world today. You think about the sin that is exalted and praised, and you think about a righteous man. You think about a righteous man who loves God, loves his wife, leads his children, and serves the Lord. He's a disgrace in the world's eyes today. And in the world's eyes, they want to lift the pervert and whatever it is, and they just exalt that. And man, we live in a world where wickedness is being celebrated and righteousness is being forgotten. This is like on our newspaper. We don't read the newspaper anymore. This is like on your phone, man. And Solomon says, there's a drive to this, verse number 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed, how, class? Speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is set fully in them to do what? They think they're getting away with it. And so our world literally thinks it's getting away with wickedness. There's no humility before God. There's no understanding there. And Solomon says, because you're not caught and judged immediately, and sentence isn't executed speedily, therefore a man thinks, well, then I must be getting away with this, or God's not really who he says he is, or I'm okay. So then that man sets in his heart to do evil because he thinks there's no consequence. If there's no consequence, then I can just do whatever I want to do. That's why we better be afraid of capital punishment being taken away in our nation. God's for capital punishment. Okay? That's why when you strip the consequence of an action away, it emboldens a person. So you think about our nation. Our nation has said, no, God, you did not create the world. No, God, you're not alive. No, God, you do not have power. No, God, you do not have influence over us. And our nation is emboldening now to the point where we are. I mean, because sentence hasn't been executed speedily, in our heart is set to do evil. Now, I got news for you. Our God is not an idiot. Hold your hand here and go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Please read every word of 2 Peter chapter 3. Please. I'm begging you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now watch verse 4. For since the, what are those three words, class? Fathers fell asleep. This is their excuse. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now look at verse 5. For this they, what's this word? Willingly are what? Ignorant. This is not just a knowledge. This here, they made a decision to defy that truth. They made a conscious decision to be willfully ignorant or rebellious or stubborn. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What do we call that, class? The flood, Noah. Verse number 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto what, class? Fire, keep up, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should, what class? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in your life and godliness, looking for and hastening on the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. If that's you, say amen. Now, what's Peter saying? Peter's saying the same thing Solomon's saying. Solomon says, now listen, there's a mentality out there in a wicked man's heart that just because God hasn't judged them, therefore there is no God. Or just because the sentence hasn't been executed on them, somehow they're getting away with it. And Peter says this has been the world's argument from the beginning. They go all the way back and they say, since the fathers fell asleep, you preachers have been preaching about needing to be born again or needing to be saved. You've been preaching about living a holy life. How's that gotten you so far? They'll say, we're over here and we have everything we want. We're living the high life. We've got all the American dream. We need nobody or no thing. We're doing just fine. And stop preaching to me my sinfulness or righteousness. Look at all you hypocrites over there. Look at all you're doing. We don't need all that. Your God isn't real. Peter says, well, they've always been saying that. Matter of fact, they are so willfully ignorant saying that they deny creation. They even deny the flood. But I got news for you. God created the world and the flood happened. And Peter says, they deny that, and they also deny that there's a day coming with fire. And this is not something that they just kind of acquiesce to. This is a conscious, willful, ignorant, rebellious sentence that says, we will not submit, we will not obey, and we will not recognize the deity of God. And so what's happening in our world? Our world is aggressively going against God, and their heart is being set fully for evil, and they're misunderstanding what? That our God is a merciful God. And so you take these people who want to stand up and put their finger in the face of God and deny God, and they want to live like there is no God, and they think that they've got God beat. The problem is God is extending his rich mercy toward them so that they can be saved. Our God is merciful. And one day, they're going to stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And if you're not born again, you will be there too. And this great white throne judgment won't be where God lists all your sins. So stupid. No. He's going to open up the book and he's going to show you every time you said no. Would you like to be saved? No. Will you humble yourself before Christ? No. There's only one God in one way. No. I'm begging you to reach. No, 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 no. I will not do it. And God will say, when you were 5, when you were 12, when you were 20, when you were 30, when you were 95, you said no, no, no. Depart from me. I never knew you. Hallelujah, I'm saved. And Peter says, and Solomon says, to you. Now stay with me, I'm almost done. No, I'm not, but think that way. Peter says, and Solomon says, why would you be envious of the wicked? I'm finding that most of God's people, we're not burdened for the lost to be saved. We're envious of what they have. And we think their life is great and my life it rots. And I'm envious. And here's where we need some biblical perspective, people. Look, if you would please, at verse number 12, or verse number, 12 in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that do what class? Fear God. Verse 13, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. So I want to ask you a question. I'd like you to look me in my face, if you would, please. I can't look everybody in the face, but I'll try. My question is, do you fear God? Do you fear God? Can't see him. Doesn't mean he's not real. He ain't done much for me. Oh, yes, he has. He never helped me. Oh, yes, he has. Do you fear God? To fear God means you're saved. You've been born again. To fear God means you're submitted to the authority of Christ. To fear God means you've got your life anchored on that book. To fear God means that I walk in an understanding of him as he leads me. Here's what Solomon said. I'm looking at the wealthy, and oh, they're being celebrated. But I'm telling you, it will be well with them that fear God. And it will not be well with them that don't fear God. He's giving you some biblical perspective in your life. So you are able to look at your life and thank God, not for the simple things, but for the biblical things. Like salvation, like peace, like joy, like understanding. All of these things from God's word. Solomon says, there is a vanity upon the earth. The righteous, they're suffering like they're unrighteous, like God's mad at them. And the wicked look like they're having the greatest time of their life. And he said, I really can't fathom that. I just know that the Bible says, one day we're all going to stand before the Lord, and the ones that fear God, it will be well with. So I ask you, if you fear God, say amen. Amen. So you can close your Bible. Let me make my conclusion. To get the most out of your life, you need to learn something. You need to learn that when your worlds are colliding, there's two paths of wisdom. Both of them make promises. Both of them have roads. One of them will lead you to destruction, and one of them will lead you to life. Christian, don't be envious of the unsaved world. Asaph said, I was so envious of them until I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood their end. I got news for you. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. My dad, I love my dad. He's so biblically based, it's annoying. So we're having lunch the other day, and we're at a family thing, and my one brother-in-law is trying to just kind of not be arrogant or bragging, but just telling about his friend that's working on this 40,000-square-foot home over in Naples. And he said, he's telling us about this man that owns this home. It's 40,000 square foot. He's got all this elaborate stuff. The security thing was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's bragging this whole thing up, you know. And I'm just picturing the house I live in 40,000 square foot. I'm thinking, man. And my dad is sitting in his chair. And he's listening. And all of a sudden he goes, that's nothing. What do you mean that's not? It's 40,000 square foot. You live in an 800 square foot condo. He said, when I get to heaven, my mansion will make that look puny. So here I am. Dad, why'd you have to go there, you know? Okay. But that's my dad teaching me to live my life with a biblical perspective. And Solomon is teaching you to live your life with a biblical perspective. They don't need our envy. They need our prayer. This world's lost and dying and going to hell. We know the truth. This is not the time to try to figure out all the injustices and all of that. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I know this, you can trust him. And I know this, that what he does will be for your good and his glory. And I know this, above anything else, no one cares for us like Jesus cares for us. Now we're ready to go out and serve the Lord. Let's pray.